from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. This is the Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Monet, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Here's your host, WUWM General Manager John Hess.
Welcome to the UWM Chancellor's Report. I'm your host, WUWM's General Manager John Hess. On today's Chancellor's Report, we'll talk with UWM Chancellor Mark Monet about UWM's fall 2020 semester reopening amid the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and the racial and social justice protests taking place here in southern Wisconsin and throughout the nation. Mark, it's always great to talk with you, and thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks, John. I had to get my mic on. I'm sorry about that. I'm always pleased to be here and look forward to a great show.
So, like thousands of college campuses across the nation, Mark, UWM has faced the challenges of reopening for the fall in midst of a pandemic and also now in midst of some ongoing protests here in southern Wisconsin. Tell me how your plans are going and what are the challenges you're facing?
Well, you're absolutely right. This has been a summer unlike anything we've ever experienced before. Typically, we have the rhythm and we all enjoy that as far as the students coming back, and that's occurring right now as we speak. And as I think as you listen to this show, we're in the midst of a very tumultuous beginning to a fall semester, as we've seen across the country some of the leading universities that had done pretty much everything they could to keep their doors open. And yet, you know, the reality is, all our planning in the world may go a little bit sideways when we really get into it. UWM, for our part, over the last several months, has had hundreds of people involved. I kind of liken it to leaders at all levels, people from facilities, from the academic affairs side, from our finance, all the different pieces of athletics, and really every single function or organization has been so deeply immersed with a foundation of around health and safety. So we look at buildings issues in terms of the patterns of traffic. We look at behavioral issues in terms of what people do on campus, face masks, social distancing, hand washing, all the different types of attestations that we want people to go through in terms of temperature and how they're feeling. All those things have just really been hammered through in terms of so much of the detail, a lot of the communication, a lot of the training, keeping the campus engaged, not making decisions just administratively, but really involving a lot of faculty and staff. So that's been the goal, to be able to open in a way that's flexible, safe, so that if students and faculty and staff don't feel comfortable, they've got options. So that's really been a key principle: health, safety, flexibility. We believe it's critically important to do that to uphold our academic mission. As an access institution, we really want to provide as much opportunity for face-to-face interactions. But bottom line, we'll only be about 25% face-to-face. We'll have more than 50% pure online, and the rest is going to be hybrid, different combinations. At the same time, you asked about the social unrest and what we're seeing. As we speak, and I know that we'll see how things play out over the next several weeks, but the situation in Kenosha, another senseless act of violence perpetrated upon a Black man, is just unfathomable. It's really quite unfortunate, and I understand the issues in such detail and the reasons why we see this unrest, and it's playing out across different levels in communities, on campuses, and we'll see more of that this fall. And so there's a lot of issues that have become integrated together. And I think that we will see on our campus activities. We've seen some things this summer on our campus. We'll continue to have those activities. UWM has long been in that situation, like other campuses around the country. So we've been focusing an awful lot, and I'm sure we'll talk this afternoon about the things that we're doing to really help address the racial and social injustices and what we're trying to do to build an even stronger foundation of action here on campus.
You know, I think that's a great segue to, let's talk a little bit about that, about some of the things that the university is planning in terms of both statements and also actions as the students start to come back for the fall around some of these issues around social justice.
Thanks, John. I'll have on Monday of next week a video coming out where I talk about what we're doing, and I don't cover all the things. It's a short video, but just a quick update, and that will be on my website as well, that viewers can see if they're interested in terms of the message to students around the types of racial and social justice and what we're doing on our campus. Tomorrow in the plenary, which is kind of our state of the state address for the campus, I'll be talking to our faculty, staff, and community members, which will also be available on my website. That will be captured so that viewers and listeners can continue to hear with a little more length and amplification much of what we're doing around diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it's not that this is new, but there are some new elements. We, in fact, have really about 24 different activities that are underway. 5 or 6 of those are new this summer, and we'll be continuing to implement this fall. And I'll give you just a few highlights. I think one of the powerful components that, even before I talk about the details, is how these are integrated with our strategic directions. So they're not just bolt-on or add-ons. They're not like, oh, this is something that's a flavor of the month, or we're going to stop this after the unrest dies down in 3 or 6 months. These are truly part of our DNA. They're things that we think are critically important before we try to offer any ideas and further suggestions and aid and help anywhere else. We know in-house, these are the types of things that we need to do. The principles around this, if I could summarize at the highest level, would be: we find ourselves as the largest public access and research university in the state of Wisconsin. That's really in an urban environment. Certainly, Madison, wonderful flagship to the west. We are the doctoral research and access institution in an urban environment. We have a diverse student profile, whether it's students of color, whether it's top 25, top 30 campus LGBT, largest number of military veterans, non-traditional students, name the dimension. And so we have to represent that, and we have to serve that audience even better. And we haven't become such a diverse campus by accident. We've been pretty intentional, and we've done a lot of great things with dedicated centers, both identity and support centers, as well as a lot of resource allocations. But at the same time, we have room for improvement. And when I say that, that's what these areas are aimed at. So when I think about the different types of activities in which we're significantly engaged, if we look at work that's happening in the student success area, I'd have to look at some of the work on becoming a Hispanic serving initiative, our African American male initiative, different Milwaukee fellows, MKE fellows types of things. These are things and programs that we've had in place for a number of years. But what's new in this particular area is something that will be announced in mid-September called the Moonshot for Equity. And the Moonshot for Equity is an outgrowth of the Higher Ed Regional Alliance. And this is something where we focused on completion, not just for students who have means and students who have advantages academically or financially, but this is truly to help close the achievement gap that exists in Wisconsin. That's directly contributing to the prosperity gap, the income gaps that exist in the state. Milwaukee, unfortunately, as we know from Professor Mark Levine's research, Milwaukee ranks consistently at the bottom in terms of that type of gap. But it starts young. In high schools, we are 50th out of 50 states in terms of the gap in Black versus white achievement, high school graduation. We're 36th in the nation in terms of the gap between Hispanic and white students. And then you look at occupations and you look at academic achievement beyond that, and that gap continues. So the Moonshot for Equity is a partnership with Education Advisory Board and 3 other regional institutions, Milwaukee Area Technical College, Carthage College, and UW-Parkside, where we're focusing tremendous resources on changing our actions through the use of technology and specific goals and making a campus-wide effort to reduce that gap completely. We want to eliminate that gap. So that's a really powerful statement and a really powerful set of actions. On the staffing front, I'm going to flip over to another example. We've done things over time around our institution to look at employee resource groups, supplier diversity, looking at doing things. But I want to tell you a couple of new activities besides the anti-racist, anti-bias training that I've talked about and announced earlier that's going to be mandatory for our employees and students across campus is something around our diverse recruitment and selection protocol. In other words, how we hire, how we are staffed, and how we're going to have increased efforts to have some real significant training and changes in behavior that are addressing who's in leadership roles, who's in different positions. I can give a lot of excuses. I can say we're not as diverse as the community that we represent because the pipeline isn't there, because there's a lot of interest in diverse talent and we can't pay enough to keep folks. We can go through reason after reason, some of which are quite legitimate, but ultimately at the end of the day, we've got to overcome those barriers. We've got to say, we've got to drive through that. So we will do that because we're also going to be announcing as soon as the plenary, the State of the State Address tomorrow, I'll be talking about we're joining the Region of Choice Initiative of the Milwaukee Metro Association of Commerce. And the premise of that is that we increase our in a five-year period, we increase our leadership of color 25% over the next 5 years, and we increase our total employee population of color by at least 15%. So this is the type of goal that's ambitious, but it's critically important for us to move those needles. So those are some of the things that we're doing. But like I said, there's two dozen different areas underway.
Well, thank you, Mark, for outlining those, especially around inclusion and racial diversity. I want to go back to also we're in the midst of a pandemic, and because of the pandemic, there have been many economic changes or many changes to our kind of our budgetary process here at UWM is changing because of the pandemic. And, you know, you've got many different plates to spin here in terms of managing the university. So talk a little bit about those things around not only the reopening plans, but the budget and the financial updates that we're going to be looking at for the college this fall.
Thank you, John. Budgetarily, focusing just on that, we came through the spring not as much revenue. Not as much expense increase we might have experienced as much as revenue loss because we had to give back on the room and board side many millions of dollars. We did get some CARES funding from the feds that allowed us to both give direct student support as well as some institutional areas. So with that and the extreme cost mitigation that we went into during the spring and summer, we actually have come out a little bit better than what we had expected in terms of our loss, where we had anticipated the losses to be in the neighborhood of $15 million for the year. They're about half of that, about $8 million. So that said, that's still significant. That's still a sizable amount of lost opportunity. The summer and fall, from a budgetary perspective, we've been doing a lot of planning, and of course, it's dependent in a huge way on probably three major things: the enrollment overall, how many students live on campus, and the level of state funding. And we know already, in addition to the cut that we had in the spring from the state, we're looking now at another cut in the fall of 7.5%. That for us becomes $8 million. The revenues from enrollment look to be down right now, today, at about 4.5%. We anticipate that may become 5 to 10% in terms of as students actually come in and we see what occurs over the next several weeks. So that's substantial. Every percent student enrollment is down. That's north of $1.5 million, almost $2 million for us. So think through that in terms of if we're down 5%, we're going to be $7 to $10 million down. If we're down 10%, we're down, you know, $14 to $20 million. Then there's the resident side, and our room and board is a very large amount of income for our campus. And in fact, it helps underwrite or subsidize some of the academic school and college operations. We right now are looking at about 1,700 students living on campus compared to our capacity of 4,200-4,300, so we're not quite at 50%. Again, let's see who actually is in. Let's see how this all works out over the next few days. As it turns out, we're in the move-in period right now. And so at best, we're at 50% of our occupancy. We'll be doing a lot of testing of students, the surveillance antigen testing. We'll be doing continued PCR testing through our Norris Health Center. So we feel pretty good about the availability of testing and what we're doing on that front to ensure safety and health. But the financial impact is staggering. And there's no way around that. I just literally use that word. $25 to $50 million is what we expect for this coming year in terms of the losses. That's on an operating budget that is about $520 to $540 million pure operating budget. So that's a large hit in light of enrollments that have declined for a long time because of demographics. So those are the challenges that are in front of us.
So as we look at this, Mark, is the pandemic just sort of accelerating some of the ongoing trends in higher education that you see? And talk a little bit about this Think Tank 2030 that you're also looking at here in terms of looking farther in the future for what the future of higher education might be.
Great, John. I answer your question in two ways. There's the broad issue, what I'm seeing in higher ed, and then our think tank, how we're addressing that. Exactly as you said, the pandemic is taking stock of what's happened and really accelerating it. The changes, the seeds were planted actually years ago. The unsustainability of the funding models associated with higher ed have been there. Marty Meehan is the president of the University of Massachusetts system, and he's predicted for some time now, prior to the pandemic, the fallout that's occurring and going to continue to occur, especially in the northeastern United States where the demographics are the worst. Nathan Growy wrote a book called Demographics, the Demand for Higher Education, and really chronicles this. It predicts it, and it's just coming to be. So I think issues around funding, enrollments, state budgets, even on the private side, the high cost of tuition, the student debt load nationally, all those factors are really creating, to say revolt, maybe a little bit of an overstatement, but certainly the whole issue of tuition and sustainability, all those things come together. I can't predict how much. I won't put a number on it, but the type of shakeout, the type of consolidations and mergers. Look at what happened in the UW system, where we brought the 2 years into the 4-year campuses. I suspect we'll see more of that in the future. So absolutely yes on that question. So facing the headwinds that all of higher ed is facing, we have to identify how we can become a distinctive brand, how we can create a radically welcoming and engaging campus culture, how we can help students in a streamlined path, ensure that they complete their degrees more efficiently and are better prepared for the workforce, and that we continue to have the diversity, equity, inclusion pervade everything we do in our campus. Meanwhile, no small challenge, stay a research one, stay at the top 2.5% of all research universities nationally. Well, how do we do that? Those are the recommendations. What I just shared with you are the outcomes of a Think Tank 2030 work group that had our governance leads, had a number of faculty and staff, a diverse group that put together probably one of the best plans. If you Google UWM Think Tank 2030, you'll be able to find this plan. And this fall, we're putting the implementation steps together. We've got great individuals who are working on that. And this is our future. These areas are aligned very much with our strategic directions around student success, research excellence, how we engage with our community and build that sustainable campus.
You know, I think you're well placed, especially as I would say that this is a very much of a transitional time for higher education. And I think UWM is well placed for that, both for the idea of going online with learning, but also, once again, trying to keep that vibrant campus community, which you and I both know is really vital to learning these days.
You know, John, we're so important on both those fronts. And let me back up and talk about why the transition to online was easy for us. We already had, it's interesting, we had 44% of our students were online in one class or more prior to the pandemic. We have so many programs that have received national recognition, and we're really light years ahead. We had the largest number of online students in Wisconsin by a factor of two already. We have some nationally recognized experts around our Center for Education and Technology Learning. So we've brought over 1,000 people online to really go through certified training programs, and really has helped us. Then, you know, as I think about UWM and how well positioned we are in this community with over 190,000 alumni, the majority of whom are in the workforce in Wisconsin and really making that difference. If you think about the talent pipeline, but also think about any sector and what does a research university do? Answering questions pertaining to the environment, fresh water issues, Bradford Beach, helping bring Bradford Beach back by our water scientists, figuring out, you know, the ways to get at the water pollution, that it wasn't in the water, it was the seagulls that were creating that problem. And so that's just one practical answer, but around Alzheimer's, around smart connected manufacturing, around a number of things that are advancing treatments in health, environment, building architecture, so forth. That's what a research university does to make an impact and make a difference. So that's something that I'm excited about, you know, how we continue to provide nurses and engineers and software developers on that front. Meanwhile, the arts and the community in so many different ways, it's exciting, but it's also vitally important for us to continue with our mission of education, research, and engagement.
You know, and I think we've just got about a minute left, but, you know, as the summer turns to fall, talk a little bit about what excites you the most about the beginning of a new semester and a new fall.
The number one thing is students back, their enthusiasm, the excitement, the joy that they bring, and how powerful that is. And we all respond to that. That's why we're here. We have committed our lives to making that type of difference, opening doors that only education can. And so to have those students, bright young minds, the hard work ethic, and then to see our faculty and staff respond to that, that to me is really exciting. And I like cooler weather. So all that together is a great thing.
Have you been bicycling back and forth from your home to work this summer?
Actually,
you haven't, right? You've been in your office at home. So
I primarily been working at home, but I've been getting some great bike rides in. It's been a good summer for that. Thanks for asking.
Well, thank you for coming and joining us today. Our guest on UWM's Chancellor Report has been Mark Monet, the Chancellor at UW-Milwaukee. Mark, as always, I want to thank you, and we will be back in touch with you next month.
Thank you, John. Great to be here.
I'm UWM's General Manager, John Hess. Thank you, as always, for listening.
You've been listening to The Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Monet, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. If you'd like more information, go to uwm.edu/chancellor.